Revelation chapter number 1, and we'll look at a few things here. We got down, let me read down to where we were going to go. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto him his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth. And there's a special blessing to you that's reading this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now in verse 4, John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's been exiled to the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. We just read it. Some people, when you preach straight to them, they don't like that. And so John has been exiled. But he's given the book of the Revelation while he's on the Isle of Patmos. Look at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now verse 4 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray right now that you'd help us the next few minutes. Give us something that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me give you a few things. I want to say something about verse 7, if I can. Here in just a minute, I'll say something about verse 7. But let's recap. Here we have two events on God's time calendar. A lot of people, when you hear them, the Left Behind series, great series, but it's not all based upon the Bible. And what we have, you have the rapture of the church. That's where the church goes to meet him in the air. The Lord does not set foot on this earth. We go to meet him in the air, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then there's 7 years of great tribulation here. 7 years, what we call the last days. And then we have the Lord coming, the second coming of Christ. He comes back for his saints here. He comes back with his saints here. And this is where he comes and sets his foot on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will split in half. And he will set up his throne that was promised when he was born. He was promised a kingdom and to sit on the throne of his father's David kingdom. And of his kingdom there will be no end. This is a promise that was given to the nation of Israel that they would inherit the land. And they are fighting over that land even today. And the Lord's coming back and he's going to make sure that happens. And so a lot of different things we talked about. We talked about going through the book of the Revelation. You go through it about 4 different times. Not just once, but 4 different times. You'll go through the whole book. 7 seals, then you'll come back. 7 trumpets, and so on and so forth. I think I got a slide better than that right there that lays it out for you. 7 seals, then you come back about chapter 8, and you're going to go through the book, the tribulation again. And come back, personages. You're going to go through 7 of them. And then you'll come back and do the 7 vows. And that'll take you through the book of the Revelation. You say, why 4 times? Well, the first coming of Christ, there's 4 accounts of the first coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 4 accounts of the first coming. Well, Revelation does the same thing. 4 accounts of the second coming of Christ. It just so happens to be in one book. And so you'll see that. Now, let's see. All right, here we go. We were talking about that. And then y'all remember this. Here's where we ended. That John, y'all see it? The Lord picked him up by the hair of the head. I don't know if he did or not, but he did. He did Ezekiel. And he picked him up by the hair of the head because John writes about 96 A.D. That means 96 years after the birth of Christ. he starts writing the book of the Revelation from the Isle of Patmos. Well, the only way he could see all of this stuff is where he says about verse number... I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, that does not mean that he just got saved and the Holy Spirit moved in him. No. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. You say, what is the day of the Lord? It engulfs the second coming, parts of the tribulation, and all the way through the thousand-year millennial kingdom. It's referred to as the day of the Lord. I'll give you a for instance. Look at Zechariah. You'll go to Matthew and then keep going left. Hold your place in Revelation. We're coming back. Go to Matthew and keep going left, and you'll find a book called Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. You'll have Malachi and then Zechariah there. 14. Look at that. I'll show you this. Zechariah 14 in your Old Testament. Look at verse 1. Is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. All right. Behold, what? The day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Now watch. Verse 2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses... This is the battle of Armageddon. And this battle of Armageddon happens about right here, where the Lord comes. Now, when he does come, watch. Look at verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Behold, the day of the Lord. The day. It's not one 24-hour period. It's like what we used to say, you know, I used to play basketball and I was pretty good back in my day. And that expands over a period of time. And by the way, I still think I'm pretty good. Basketball, anyway. The day of the Lord. Now, verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon where? The Mount of Olives. Well, let me give you something. Now, watch this in passing. Do you remember in Acts chapter number 1, all the disciples are there and Jesus is standing there, and all of a sudden, while he was talking with them, he started leaving. Do you know where he left from? He left from the Mount of Olives. And he ascends up, and they're standing. And two men in white apparel said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will come in like manner, just as you have seen him go. Well, Zechariah 14 is the fulfillment of that, because he's going to come back just as you've seen him go. He's going to come back right back to the Mount of Olives, just like where he left from. And so, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and so on and so forth. Look at verse number 9, and we'll move on. And the Lord shall be king over the earth. Y'all see that? King. Now, if he's going to be king over the earth, remember when he comes, the second coming? Remember? They'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, you can't be king unless you've got a kingdom. And so verse 9 says, and the Lord shall be king over the earth in that. Look at that. Shall there be one Lord and his name one. Y'all see that? This is this day. And I got news for you. He don't have a political party. He's not running on a platform. He's coming whether you like it or not. And he's not asking for anybody's vote. He's not going to be kissing the babies and all of that kind of thing. He's coming to rule this world. And he will rule with a rod of iron. You know what that means? That means this is not the little baby Jesus in the manger that everybody so, they just love Christmas time. Oh, little baby Jesus. But you watch when that King of Kings, Lord of Lords, comes back in that cloud, they're not going to like him so much. Because little baby Jesus, they put a crown of thorns on right here. This one, they're going to crown him with a crown of gold, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a big difference.
And so, the day of the Lord. Hey, while you're on your way back to Revelation, stop off at Malachi, which is the next book, chapter 4. I'm just not getting anywhere fast. I keep thinking of stuff to tell you. Look at Malachi chapter 4. And look at verse 1. For behold, the what? The day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. And the Lord of hosts, he shall leave them neither root nor branch. But look at verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Y'all see that? Now, if you have a good Bible, if you have a good Bible, Son will be capitalized. And Son will be spelt S-U-N. You said, but that ain't right. That ain't right. He's not the S-U-N. He's the S-O-N. Hey, hold the phone. He is the S-U-N. Because the sun has three different rays about the sun. Alpha rays, beta rays, gamma rays. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One you can feel but can't see. One you can see, can't feel. Well, I wish I had a Bible reader in the house tonight. Three different races. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he's pictured as the Son in Malachi chapter what? Somebody tell me, just often, somebody tell me, just take a wild guess. What day the Son, the S-U-N, was created on? Let me help you. Oh, let me give you something else. Just in passing. Hallelujah. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. 4,000 years of human history from Adam to the day Jesus shows up. He showed up on the fourth day. You ever wondered why when Lazarus got his dead on, that woke some of you up. See, I'm cool. Y'all don't know it, but I'm cool. Look here. What day did the Lord show up to raise Lazarus from the dead? Oh, you didn't like that one. Okay. Disciples out in the middle of the ship. Storm. Jesus came unto them and shows up, walking on the sea, take a wild guess, in the fourth watch of the night. Oh, y'all ain't got time for that. Now, back to Revelation. You say, S-U-N, that's a mistake. Oh, no, that ain't a mistake. There's a lot of juice in that. Revelation chapter 1. Now let's move on. Revelation chapter 1. Now look look down about verse number 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps. That's an old English term that means the chest, the paps. With a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. I'm talking about eyes that you could pierce through you when they look at you.
pierce right through you. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is a sound of many waters. How many ever been to Niagara Falls? You stand there at Niagara Falls, and you're trying to talk to the person next to you, and you can't hardly, you've got to almost holler at them because all of that water rushing over the top is so loud. I mean, that is how big God is. And his voice just sounds like mighty rushing waters.
He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Y'all see that? A two-edged sword.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword." That means it's got two edges on it. That means he'll cut you on one side to kill you, or he can cut on the other side to heal you. There's parts of the Bible, when you read it, son, that thing will stab you right in the heart. And then there's other parts you read, and you say, oh, boy, that helps me right there. It's a two-edged sword. You with me? Got two edges on it. I ain't got time to tell you this, but I'm fixing to tell you anyway. Revelation 19, when the Lord comes, the Bible says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. No two edges. You say, preacher, what does that mean? When he comes a second time, he's coming for one reason. And it ain't going to have the good side. It's only going to have the cutting side. You say, well, I don't think these preachers ought to carry guns. Well, the best preacher I know carried a sword. That preacher, a constable down there, he's a gun-toting preacher. You better be glad you got one. You don't want a sissy preacher, do you? There's several of them around. They won't hardly preach nothing. Oh, yeah, that woke the rest of you up. All right, where was it? Oh, that two-edged sword. Now look at verse 17. And when I saw him, John saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And I am he that liveth and was dead. Now, how many people do you know can say that? How many people in the whole world do you know can say that statement right there? I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I know who you're thinking. You're thinking Lazarus. No. Lazarus was raised. He was dead, and then he was alive, but he wasn't alive forevermore. Lazarus had another funeral later on down the road. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of where? Two places. Hell and of death. Jesus has got the keys. Now let me explain that to you real quick before we move on. There's John on the Isle of Patmos. And there he is. He sees the Lord between or in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, when Jesus died upon the cross, he leaves. His body goes to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. His spirit goes back to the Father because he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So his spirit goes to the Father. His body goes to the tomb, and his soul goes to the lower parts of the earth. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you better believe it. Matthew 12:40. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights where? In the heart of the earth. So his spirit goes back to the Father, his body goes into the tomb of the graveyard, and his soul goes down. And you say, what is he doing? Well, there's two compartments down there. This is called death and hell. And there's a great gulf between them. death, he goes down and he dumps your sins off where? In hell. You better be glad he ain't still holding on to them. Cast in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered ever again. So he goes down to hell and he drops them off in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. And then, well, before he goes over, he knocks on, you say, key. Why do you need a key into hell? Why do you need a key into there? Well, see, it's all in the Bible. This is not on Discovery Channel. This is in the Bible. Matthew 16:18. Is that about right? He's talking to Peter. He says, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell's got gates. If you got gates, you got to have a key to get in. Right? So the devil, he's got the keys, right? Okay? So the Lord comes down there, knocks on hell's gate. Well, I don't really think he knocked. I really don't think so. I'll tell you what I think happened. I love. How many of y'all walk and talk? Let me see your hand. Like walk and talk. Man, I love that. He goes down to the Pine Ridge Club on Highway 18. And he wants to go in. He says, the bartender there, he says, I need to go in the back, you know, and check your license, all this stuff. And they say, well, you need a warrant. He said, I got one. They said, where you got it? He said, I keep it in my boot. Now, if you don't love that, there's something wrong with you. So, the Lord goes down there and don't even knock. He's got the blood of the saints, the blood of His precious blood. And He says, I'm coming in here. And He kicks them doors off the hinges. He says, is that in the Bible? No, but it's probably pretty close. And on the side of the devil, he's got them keys hanging. He said, devil, you won't be needing them no more. Let me have them. And then he leaves hell and goes over here and gets all the Old Testament saints. And he says, hey, y'all get in single file line. We're leaving out of here. And he locks the gate behind it because ain't nobody been down there. Ain't nobody down there no more. And so they leave out and he's got two keys. He's got one key to death and to where? Hell. That's Revelation chapter. That was a long way around to tell you. But Revelation 1:18, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys, two of them, of the hell and of death. Now let's look at verse 19. Write the things which thou saw, which thou seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in the right hand are seven golden candlesticks. Y'all see that? Now watch, he's going to tell you about the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Y'all see that? These angels, it appears that these tribulational churches have a representation up in heaven. I'll give you, usually it appears through Scripture that countries, all the countries have an angelic representation. You say, I don't believe it. Well, you ought to read Daniel 12 sometime. And Daniel 12 will tell you that the heavenly representation for the nation of Israel is Michael. And he'll probably be the one blowing the trumpet for the tribulation to come in and for us to leave out and for the tribulation to come in. But it looks like. And so these tribulational churches have a heavenly representation and they're angels. Now you'll love this. Hang on. Watch. Seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the what? Seven churches. Now, stars. You see the stars. They're associated with angels. The stars. Job 38 says, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, they're associated with angels. You ever thought about this? Stars and angels. The association between stars and angels. You got a city out in California called Los Angeles. The city of... And that's where all the stars live. And you think that's odd. Truth is stranger than fiction. And those seven stars are those seven angels. And, you know, Hollywood. Holy wood. Oh, y'all ain't got time for that. These angels are associated with these seven churches and the seven golden candlesticks. Now, and that is basically what you have in chapter number one. Now, let me do something real quick while you're turning to chapter four. Chapter two and chapter three deal with seven churches. And I'm not going to deal with those tonight. Not going to deal with those tonight. Because just recently I dealt with those seven churches. I have a DVD set. I don't know if there's any out there or not, but we can get some out there. On the seven churches of the book of Revelation. Hang on, and you can get those. But I want you to look at chapter 4 real quick before we go. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat upon was to look upon like jasper, and of a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. There's a couple of things we want to point out to this one. Number one, there's a door that opens in heaven and somebody goes out. You'll notice, I'll show you. Let's see. Right here. I'm going to show you right here. There's a door that's open in heaven. Someone goes out. And then, in Revelation 19, that door opens again and somebody comes down. Now, if you're worried about going through the tribulation period, I'm just telling you, you're not going through the tribulation if you're saved. If you're not saved, you're going to go through the tribulation period. And you need to run down to the Social Security office as soon as the trumpet sounds and get to the mark of the beast. Because you're going to need it to survive. And so get it as fast as you can. Do not collect $200 and do not, you know, pass go. But that's what you're going to have to do. But the best thing to do is to get saved today while you have an opportunity so you can go up when the door opens. And it's just like the door in Noah's Ark. That door opened. People got in. God shut the door. And when that door about opened back up, people come off of it. Ain't that something? Eight is a number of new beginnings. Eight people got on that ark. Eight people got off in Genesis chapter number 8. Eight people gets off and starts a new beginning. And then the nine is the fruitful number. And God says in verse 1 of chapter 9, Genesis says, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Ain't that something? Now, that's probably a coincidence. Now, this door is open in heaven. Now, there's a couple of things I want to show you. This come up hither. This come up hither is mentioned three times in the Bible. Once in Proverbs. It's found here in Revelation 4. And it's found again in Revelation chapter number 11. And it pictures three different groups of people going up. You've got Old Testament saints that came up at the resurrection of Jesus. You've got church saints that come up at the rapture, all the church age saints. And then you've got tribulation saints that come up after that. The first resurrection is divided into three parts. You have the harvest, you have the first fruits, then you have the harvest, and then you have the gleanings, the leftovers. And all three of those coincide with the three different raptures that take place as far as what group of people they are. And look at verse, verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. You say, now that's odd. You mean John went up to heaven? Well, sure. Paul did.
in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul said this, I knew a man above 14 years, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell, only God knoweth. And he said he was caught up to paradise, to the third heaven. So if there's a third heaven, there's a second, and there's a first. There's three heavens. The first heaven is where the birds fly. Second heaven is where the sun, moon, and stars are. Then the third heaven is where God is. Three different heavens. The first heaven you see by day. The second heaven you see by night. The third heaven you see by faith. And those three heavens. John was caught up under the third heaven to begin writing what he saw. And what he saw, verse 3, he saw a person sitting on the throne likened to a jasper and a sardine stone. Well, that, the jasper is the first stone in the high priest. He has a breastplate on, and it's the first stone up here. The sardine stone is the last one. The first and the last. Oh, y'all not getting that? But that's probably a coincidence too. And there's a rainbow around this throne. Around this throne, there's a rainbow. Well, guess what? There's another throne in Revelation chapter number 20. The great white throne judgment. No rainbow. Where does rainbow come from? Well, it's the rainbow that God told Noah. It pictures grace and mercy. Roundabout in the Noah's Ark. Said, I won't do this again by water. Never do it again. He's going to do it by fire, but he won't ever do it by water ever again. And he said, I'll give you this rainbow, but he calls it like a mercy. But that judge seat of the great white throne, there's no mercy there. No rainbow. Isn't that odd? And so with everything, let me say this, and I'm done. That's just a trick. Look at verse 4. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. 7 spirits of God found in Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass. Oh, I ain't got time to tell you about the sea of glass. Likened to crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second was like a calf. The third was the face of a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they repeat that over and over and over and over again. You say, preacher, why is there a creature up there with 4 different faces? The first one is a lion. The second, a calf. The third, a man. And the fourth, a flying eagle. Okay. That shows you the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew represents him as king. That's the lion. Mark represents him as the servant. What's a servant? What's the next one? A calf. And then Luke represents him as the son of man. So you have a face of... And then the last is John, pictures him as the son of God, a flying eagle, the king of the air. You got the lion, which is the king of the field. You got the eagle, which is the king of the air. You got a servant, represented as a calf. And then you have the son of man. All 4 of those represented in heaven. It's an amazing thing. This is what they do. They cry, holy, holy, holy. Let me tell you this, and I'm done. Some of you look like you've had about all you can stand. But I love this. Man, I love all this stuff. But I'm telling you, let me finish by saying this, and I'm not trying to be ugly or anything like that. I'm just trying to make you think. Around the throne, all you hear is holy, holy, holy. the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they start all over again. Constantly. Whatever you're going through, I mean, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, they don't stop.
And a lot of us, we say, well, our loved ones, and I'm not, hey, I got loved ones there too, so I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you say, well, I got loved ones. They're waiting on me by the gate to get there.
I hate to tell you this, but they're not. Because, I'll tell you this, I remember when I was in Atwood. Y'all have heard me tell this before, but I was in Atwood. And Mark will remember this. It reminded me before Mark came, I don't remember. But anyway, had a fella came, and boy, I'm telling you, that church was growing, and boy, like this. And here he come. And he was, man, he was a shouter. Man, he'd shout in season or out of season. And I could see it coming. I'd be preaching or singing something, and he'd look, he'd be sitting there, and he'd start rocking in his seat, and then he'd go, I'd keep on preaching or whatever, and then here he'd go like this, he'd go, I knew it was coming. By that third time, son, he'd go, whoo! And boy, one Sunday, I saw him come in. We had some visitors. They were sophisticated, you know, from uptown. And I'm like, Lord, please don't let him do that today. Don't let him do that today. He got started. Boy, he got cranked up. They seemed to like it. So anyway, it's all right. But hey, you get to heaven. You're going to take your last breath. Oh, Brother Tom just took his last breath just a little bit ago. Took his last breath here. Saved. Tested by his own testimony. Saved. Well, guess what? We're going to take his old residence, his old house. We'll put it out in the ground here in the next few days. But he's left out. He left out at 5:30. He's not there no more. I mean, that's his old house. That's an old address. And he's still alive and well. You say, why is he alive and well? A saved person, you can't kill a saved person. They just take their last breath here. They take their next one in heaven. And so he's already there waiting on us to have a funeral. He don't even care. And so when he crosses over, and I'll get to that sea of glass, maybe next Sunday night, maybe one of these Sunday nights I'll get to that sea of glass. You ain't got time to hear it tonight. But right before you get to heaven, there's a body of water that scientists just discovered. And it's been up there all along. And it's frozen on the top. The book of Psalms tells you. Frozen water on the top before you get to the throne. That's the sea of glass. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Oh, no. I may be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat. Listen. You looking at me like I'm crazy, but we sing songs about it all the time. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye. Who wrote that song? Somebody that knew what was up there. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. How many stories have you heard about people that... I'm telling y'all about the sea of glass. I told you I wasn't going to tell you about the sea of glass, but I just got into it now. How many stories have you told where people on their deathbed and they said they're he's here looking for a place to cross? Cross what? Now some of y'all ain't believing that, but you just watch. You say, man, we're going to go through water? All right, watch. Moses delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And they had to go through water before they got to the promised land. And right before they got stuck their feet in, God, they walked across on dry ground. So when the rapture takes, hang on a minute. Oh, I'm feeling it. I'm getting a second wind now, David. At rapture takes, the trumpet sounds. And our heavenly Moses is going to lead the children out of Egypt. And right before we get that body of water, The Lord's going to say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And we're walking on dry ground to the other side. Y'all remember who was chasing Moses? Y'all remember? Who was it? Pharaoh, a picture of the devil? You say, man, the devil's up there. Oh, yeah. The Bible says he's the prince and power of the... You mean he's going to chase us? Yeah. All right, preacher, you scared? No. Moses wasn't scared. And what happened to Pharaoh? By the time Pharaoh tried to cross, God just went. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I mean, I ain't telling you something out of... See, hey, let me say this while I'm getting a little red behind the ears. Let me say this right here. Some of you are so used to these little Sunday morning, Sunday school quarterlies that hadn't got enough meat in them to blow the fuzz off of a peanut. And you get in a little Sunday school class, you read a little paragraph, you leave. What do you think about that? Well, what do you think about the paragraph? Well, who cares what you think? What's the Bible say? Well, I'm feeling pretty good. And so many people all over Dyersburg, they just, well, I ain't never read that in my little quarterly. Well, won't you put your little quarterly down and get you a good Bible? Hallelujah. Well, where was we going on the Sea of Glass? Oh, I remember where I was going. I can tell you this, we're going. For real. I was telling you about that guy. Well, once Tom, he crossed over a few minutes, and as soon as he got up there, he heard something. Holy, holy, holy. And probably Tom, he probably said, whew. And he got a little closer around the throne, and he heard, Lord God Almighty. He went, and then he got a little closer, and he said, which was, and is to come. And that was an hour and a half ago, and he probably hadn't been seen since. So you say, what are they doing around? They around the throne. Hey, I'm not trying to be ugly to you. You'll get there when you get there. But they're not waiting at the gate to get there. They're going to see one person. They wait. They want you to be there. But when you get there, you go into it's a central location. You go into the same place they're going. As soon as you cross over, you're headed to the throne. So you'll get to see them, but you'll get to see them around the throne. It ain't none of this, well, let's just have a little reunion right here by the gate, and then we'll go see Jesus. Uh-uh. Like Jesus, oh, Jesus, you hang on, let me get my family hugged. And I got family there, and I'm hugging them. But there's one person we're going to see first. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, all right. Now, some of you ain't liking that sea of glass, but I got Bible for it. You come back, and I'll tell you about it. All right. Mark, I don't know what kind of invitation you have about that. If the sea of glass has touched your heart, come to the altar. I don't know why you give an invitation to that. But I can tell you this. If you're not saved and you don't know the Lord, you won't ever have to worry about it. Because you ain't going to ever cross over. And so the best thing you need to do is get saved tonight if you're not, if you don't know the Lord. And being saved is not joining the church and getting baptized, getting dunked, and going through the catechisms and the catacombs and everything else. That ain't all of that. Salvation is in one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he'll save anybody who will come to him in like faith. You trust him, ask him to come in your heart and save you. Say, I got to do it down the altar. That's always a good place to do it at the altar. But you can make an altar right there in your seat and ask the Lord to come in your heart and save you. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless the study tonight. I hope it's helped.